Hello and welcome everybody to this newest episode of Go Mode, a Link to the Past randomizer podcast. My name is Herfy Durfy.
I'm Dante.
And I'm Tim.
And I hope you guys are doing well. I hope everyone enjoyed the long episode that we recorded last time. People have been talking about it ever since. The community is abuzz. They won't shut up about it. And I'm, of course, talking about the big old topic of pizza.
Hot pizza takes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We've read them all in the past 2 weeks.
We've seen them. We've read them. We've talked about... I didn't even... You know, some of the styles that came up, I didn't even know those were a thing. I knew of New York style. I knew of Chicago deep dish. And that's where my knowledge ended. And there's apparently some more styles that I have never been aware of in my life, being a dumb German. You know,
that curry pizza sounded amazing.
Curry pizza, yeah. How have I not heard of that before? That sounds great.
Yeah. I'll leave all that to you and the weird Swedes.
So, yeah, all of the different locations were discussed. You know, as Herf said, there was also like a Connecticut pizza, which I'd never heard of. Mm-hmm. I brought up Detroit pizza, which is my absolute favorite. Y'all should check that out. And also, like, you know, all the different chains were brought up as well. So those were all kind of, there was a lot of Little Caesars hate, which I maybe kind of contributed to a little bit too, because it's been a long time since I had it. And I do remember it being just. But yeah, we read pretty much every pizza opinion. We absolutely set ourselves up for that. So I'm not complaining at all. I really enjoyed reading it. There might even be a little bit more in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
So I think we should get some more. And for some more pizza opinions, what I believe I will do is turn to our guest this episode. This person is our Mentor Tournament 2023 MVP mentor. We have them here. We're going to chat with them for a little while. Everyone, please welcome Akuhaish. Welcome to the show, Akuhaish.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And so we come to you and we ask, do you have any pizza hot takes that you'd like to share with us and our listeners?
I like either normal or thin crust pizza myself with lots of meat on top.
Oh, like, yeah. Steak. I can get behind that.
Yeah,
I definitely can as well. Not too hot of a take, I will say. Pretty middle of the road. I feel like there's probably a lot of people that would agree with you. Are there any like crazy toppings that you like?
Craziest pizza I've made was peanut butter with jalapeno peppers and banana peppers on top.
All right. Now we're talking. Let's tell me about this wild ass pizza that you made.
Yeah, it was on the menu of a place I worked at. You bake the crust by itself, then you slather it with peanut butter and the jalapenos and banana peppers.
Wow. So is that like a dessert pizza or?
No, it's just a regular pizza.
So are the like jalapeno peppers and the banana peppers, are they cooked or are they just sliced up raw like and put on that?
Sliced up and put on.
Okay. All right. You had me and then you lost me. But I had some really good like fried banana peppers this past Friday. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe they'd be like that, but no. I'd give it a shot, though. It's got peanut butter. It can't be that bad.
Yeah, I'd give it a try.
I love peanut butter. I don't think I could eat this pizza. I think it would ruin pizza and peanut butter for me. I support everyone's right to eat whatever pizza they want, but I unfortunately don't think I can take that journey with you. But man, that is an absolutely weird pizza. You've passed with flying colors. So Akuhaish, let's talk a little bit about you and the Mentor Tournament. So you were a Gold Sword quarterfinalist in last year's Mentor Tournament, which was MT 2022. This year, you mentored a whopping 12 times. And you helped out 6 different mentees. So a good mix of, you know, amount of people that you worked with. I think, you know, I could see a world where our MVP mentor has mentored 12 times and it's 2 people and they've stuck with them the entire time. But I think it's really cool that you've, you know, kind of spread the love a little bit, as it were. So I was wondering, just kind of to kick things off, what was your experience like this year, you know, going from racer to mentor? This year in the 23 Mentor Tournament?
For me, it just seemed like the natural progression. I'm with a group and a lot of us are helping new runners over there anyway. So just expanding on that to the whole community.
What group is that?
It's the Bazaar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm in there, actually. Yeah, that's cool. We'll put a link in the description to check that out. It's kind of a sub-community of people who are interested in ALTTPR, and I think a lot of other games as well. But very cool. How did you get involved with them? Were you with them and then you found out about ALTTPR, or was it kind of the other way around?
The other way around. I got into ALTTPR through Andy several years ago, joined Ladder, race against Smirk, beat him somehow, and he invited me into the Bazaar.
Mm. Okay. Smirk was a mentor tournament participant either last year or the year before. I'm not remembering exactly right now, but another MT person. That's awesome. Cool. So in working with all of these people this year, I'm curious, was there anything that you noticed in terms of trends that you saw in multiple racers, or was every experience kind of different?
A little bit different, but one trend I was seeing was lack of map checks.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Interesting.
What do you mean, like, at all? Like, you had to be like, hey, you need to check your map, or, like, late?
It was either later or after I mentioned where are we going. A lot of the newer runners were doing the whole Kakariko South Shore and then figuring out where to go after that instead of creating a plan, saying this is a crystal, this is a pendant, what do I need?
I gotcha. That's interesting. Yeah, I wonder where that stems from, if that's a coincidence or if that is like, you know, maybe something to do with if you're auto tracking, pretty much everything is kept up with for you and you're just super focused on execution. That's kind of the first thing that you need to go out of your way to do.
I feel game, like I personally, it sounds like a very, like, you know, I'm not too surprised you noticed a trend. Let's put it this way, because it sounds like a very new person thing to me. I think I still kind of fall into the trap whenever I play a seed like once a year. It's just, you know, especially in an open seed, you kind of autopilot, you start at Sank, you walk to Kakariko. There's a lot of items there you can get pretty easily. All you need to find is maybe a couple of bombs or enough rupees to buy 10 bombs. And then the next, you know, natural, like, logical step in your head is like, all right, I cleared out of everything out of Kakariko. You save and quit to Link's house, grab the other starting item, so to speak, and then walk south to the South Shore and get another bunch of items in, like, Mini Moldarn Cave and stuff, right? So those are the first two big item-dense locations that you basically get immediate access to. So people probably don't think about, oh, I need to make a plan to see what do I even need to get into. Do I need to get into any of the dungeons in the light world, or do I need to find a way to get into dark world quicker? They just see, oh, lots of items, easy to get. Let's go there and then let's see where we go from there.
Yeah.
So one thing that I did notice, so we've got kind of trackers that keep track of, you know, who's racing whom, who's being mentored and things like that. One of the things that I noticed is you started out mentoring two or three times a week near the beginning of the Swiss rounds. And then near the end, it was more like one a week. And I wanted to ask about that, if that was something that was intentional, like you were trying to kind of curb burnout, or if it was just more of a coincidence, like that's just when people happen to reach out to you.
It was more of a coincidence. And then with how it was set up this year with 2 weeks being displayed at a time, earlier in the week, people would be wanting to get their races done.
I gotcha. You know, that makes perfect sense. I was thinking that would be natural. I could see, you know, signing up and doing a lot more of them being like, whoa, this is kind of taking away from time I might want to race on my own or something like that, and then backing them off. So I think either one is good. You know, everyone just kind of needs to do it, you know, as much as is comfortable for them. Speaking of other things that you're doing in the Rando community, saw that you recently participated in the 80 Keys bracket and also saw that you're moving on to brackets in the Casual Boots tournament. So I wanted to say congrats on that. How has your experience been in both of those tournaments?
Been really good. Like, I'm usually moving on from groups to brackets almost no matter what tournament I'm in. And with the Casual Boots tournament, I did get to play against Bitey.
Oh, okay.
You were in a group together, I think. Yes. I saw. Awesome. Cool. Shout out to Bidey, current number one seed in the gold bracket and a quarter finalist in this year's Mentor Tournament. Also saw that you had applied for admin status in TARC, which is, of course, the ALTTPR racing community. So I did want to acknowledge that. I unfortunately can't give you a platform to stump because right when this episode comes out is when voting finishes. So just to mention that your name is on the ballot, but unfortunately there's nothing we can do to change the outcome by the time people hear this. But what drove your decision to apply? Just because I'm curious.
Yeah, I more apply just to have something else to do.
Mm-hmm. Another way to give back.
Yeah. And the best way to initiate change is be part of the change.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Makes sense.
And I did apply to be part of the old council before everything happened.
Yeah, it seems like a natural progression. You know, if you're the kind of person that would apply for the council, this is really just the evolution of that. So that makes perfect sense. So I also saw that you are pretty active playing a game called Chrono Trigger Jets of Time, which I understand is the Chrono Trigger randomizer. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's more of an open world RPG game. Your progression is hopefully locked behind other progressive key items to get to the different eras in that game.
Okay.
And with three different go modes and two different end bosses, can make for some really interesting races and gameplay decisions.
What's the normal length of a Jets of Time seed?
90 minutes to 2 hours is a normal length for a really good runner.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot quicker than I expected. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking it was going to be much longer, and I know mm-hmm. I've heard of this, and I remember hearing that it's not like the full game, so obviously, but so I was heard it was shortened, but I don't know the specifics of it.
Yeah, we took out a lot of the cutscenes, and just like with Link to the Past, you don't have to go through every dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just get your key items, then go through your like GT, but there's three different GTs that you could go through, and each one of them with their own bosses and struggles, and two of them lead to Lavos, the other one leads to Queen Zeal as the final end boss.
Okay.
It's not how I thought that worked at all. I really want to try that now that I know it. It's a lot more like compact, you know. So for someone like myself who maybe wants to get into the Jets of Time community, do you have any recommendations?
There's ctjot.com with a wiki attached to that. We have a Discord, and we are working on a mentor tourney setting right now. Awesome. Gonna be trying to get that going next month, I think, is our plan.
That'd be pretty cool. That sounds
really cool.
All right. So, yeah, I assume that our royalty check is probably just in the mail. So I'll let you know as soon as I get that, and then you'll be good to go. Kidding, of course. Well, Akihash, thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to give you this opportunity sort of at the end of our time here to just kind of get up on your soapbox. If there's anything that you want to shout out or plug or anyone you want to thank, this is just your time to kind of speak your mind. So what's on your mind?
I'd like to do more racing with Jets of Time, but with our small Restream crew, we need more help there by a lot.
Sounds familiar. Mm-hmm. And of course, we'll put links in the description for everything that Akihash was just talking about in terms of the Discord for Jets of Time, the website with the wiki and all that good stuff. Anything else before you head out, Akihash, that you want to be sure to say?
Just big thanks to everyone involved here, Speed Gaming, the whole ALTTPR community, Bazaar, and everyone listening. Because listening, and that is its own little subgroup that's not talked about enough at times.
Awesome. Very true. The listeners, the silent majority. Yeah. Shout outs to all of you for listening every other week. We greatly appreciate you. And we greatly appreciate you, Akihash. Again, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to us. Thank you for your efforts to mentor and be someone that can show new people the ropes in this community. We really couldn't do the tournament without you. And just really happy that you decided to spend your time with us. So thanks again. All right, let's keep on rolling. So the first little bit of news that we have to talk about here today is TARC. So if you don't know what TARC is, it's an acronym. Probably just go back to the last episode and listen to that. We talked about yes. it a lot. I don't necessarily want to do all that again. It stands for the ALTTPR Racing Community, and it is a new Discord / governmental administrative body, I guess. And they have been holding votes for people who want to be an admin of this new community. So the thing is, it doesn't do much good to talk a lot about this because this episode comes out right when the voting ends for TARC, as we mentioned in our interview not too long ago. So
When I said the vote would happen Tuesday or Wednesday, I was shooting for Tuesday and then it just didn't happen. And I was like, even if it happened Tuesday, it would be after when we record. Yeah. So, and honestly, I was thinking of you a little bit, Temp, but I was also thinking about the community. So I put our tiny little insignificant podcast aside just for a little bit to make sure the community had more time to review their applicants before we initiated the vote. It wasn't all just for content.
You're f***ing fired, dude. That's it. I'm just kidding. Well,
that's the final straw.
I am part of the community. So you actually did benefit me there as well. And I totally agree with that. It's just our luck that this the kind of stuff always happens to us. So, just to talk a little bit about it, there were some resources that I thought were pretty cool that came out to help people make a decision here, a well-informed decision. So the first one was, I believe P-Train released all of the applicants' answers in a Word document. So the answers to the application, just put them all out there word for word, which I was pretty impressed with. So we have a link to that in the description. Again, you can't vote, but I think it's cool to just as evidence that they're trying to be as transparent as possible in all this, which is awesome. And then Fear Agent went above and beyond and released a special episode of the 216 podcast with 15 of the applicants being interviewed. Just 3 quick questions for each one. I'm about halfway through it right now. My plan is to finish the other half tomorrow and then vote in the evening right before the deadline closes. But that has also been invaluable for me feeling like I can make an informed decision. I just want to run this by you guys, and maybe I'm going to paint myself to be a bad guy again, like I sometimes do. But my number one thing here is just to always be honest. This is really boring and hard to do. And it feels like homework, reading all of these answers, listening to the podcast, getting the information on the people. I care about this community, and that's why I'm doing it. I want to be informed just the same way that when there's a local election, I go online and I read a little bit about those applicants so I can make an informed decision there. But it's like a civic duty. It's homework, you know? So I just wanted to say that, like, I hope people are taking this seriously and like reading through these and then making as an informed decision as they can. But it's like, it feels like a little bit of a labor of love in service of this community. What do you guys
think? I'm going to clap back just a little bit with a slightly alternate take. Sure. If you care about the community, then I would say that, yeah, you should read it. I don't think this is very important in the grand scheme of things. Now that sounds really bad considering I'm the one like made the server. I tried to port the console over temporarily till we came up with something else. I did that just because I felt like we had to, you know, like there had to be a structure of some sort. So I do think that we should take it seriously, but I do think that there's definitely ways to take it too serious for what it is kind of what I'm getting at. So like if it feels like work to my opinion was if it felt like work to you, like, cause this is already over by the time this comes out, like you don't have to ruin your day reading all of this. You don't have to vote. I would encourage you to, if you care about the community, but you don't have to. Like, I would much rather you go vote in something important, like in your country, your town, your city, whatever. That would be, if you have that opportunity or live somewhere, that's more important than this. But like, don't feel like, sorry, Temp, don't feel like Temp where you just feel like you gotta do it. Like, it doesn't need to be an obligation, but I feel like if you do care, then yeah, you need to like put a little, at least some work, put some effort into it and not just say, these people sound cool, I'm voting for them. Just kind of see, you know, because the thought was, my thought with reading things is I don't want to potentially pair up a bunch of people in my hypothetical five people that are like going to clash with each other, because then it's just going to be chaos and I'm going to feel really bad for them because I know what it's like living in said chaos. So there you go. That's almost, I could keep going, but I'm not. That's it.
You're hired again. You're right again. I like that take.
Damn, that was quick.
I think that's really insightful, and I like the way that's worded. I personally always just feel a need to stay updated on the community because of my, you know, quote unquote part time job of producing this podcast. So that is probably a skewed take. But I think you're absolutely right. I think if you find like reading through it is a chore, then it's probably a way of saying that like it's not that important to you. You're probably going to be good with pretty much whoever, yeah, you know, or you're just going to pick who you want, regardless of what the interview notes say or whatever.
Yeah. Let's be real. There's a lot of people who just voted for their friends or their friends.
I think that's just going to be like 95% of the votes.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to diminish what Petrain put into this. And I thought the threads of the questions were a very good idea. And I thought the answers are very insightful and interesting. And I definitely think it's a good resource, like no slight against that at all. But I think in the grand scheme of things, the influence that it's going to have on the votes is going to be pretty minuscule. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people are going to see names that they like or vote for their friends or, you know, vote for people they know support whatever their opinion of how things should go is. And you don't necessarily need those answers to figure that out. You know, it felt more like a formality, a very interesting formality, and I think it's very useful data and everything, but I think the voting will be, you know, I'll vote for friends, and I have a, I don't know, an interesting kind of cynical view on all of this. I mean, I've already kind of talked about this in the last episode, but what I find interesting in this, and I wanted to mention this, is I can't vote even if I wanted to, because I do not have a race on Racetime GG in the last 365 days. So despite being a member of this community for quite some time, and I think being okay in the knowledge department, I've definitely, you know, been lacking in the last couple of years because I haven't kept up with glitches and stuff, but I was not allowed to vote. And this is not to say I think that that was a bad decision. I think there had to be some sort of, you know,
there had to be barrier
to entry. There had to be some sort of gateway. So you can't abuse the voting system and you can't just make like 50 alt accounts and just vote for yourself or whatever, you know? So that makes sense to me. So I'm not saying that was a bad idea. I'm just saying, you know, for me, I'm kind of in a situation where I'm like, well, I guess whatever the outcome is, I'm going to have to live with it. I guess that's everyone's situation in the end, really.
But yeah.
I cannot actively participate in doing anything. And I will have to admit, I don't think I would have, even if I could have, probably. Just because I can't really tell you why. I just don't care that much, I suppose, is really the bottom line of it all.
I think one way to look at this, so this is my view, and I'll tell you why I have this view, and I'll do it really fast. Mm-hmm. So the council leader's most tiring part was, besides writing like announcements to go out, was not really moderating the council, like in discussions. We never really got heated that much. It was more, we were kind of servants to the admins of the dev Discord, the main dev Discord. And they wanted everything we made a decision on to have a paper trail, whether it be through Discord or our Google Drive, and documenting all that stuff. That was like the most tiring part. To me, this admin position is that. It is documenting things. It is using this bot to initialize voting if we want to review Specky Clip one more time, or if they really feel like there's stuff that needs to be re-reviewed, like, you know, Diver Down, Icebreaker, Hovering, Mimic Clipping, stuff like that. Or if we need to vote in new admins, if we want, you know, race time moderators, I don't think we need to get the community in on all of that. But my point is, I think it's more of a like a housekeeping paper thing, paper trail thing. And you need people who are good at that. I don't think we need, I think it'd be better if we had active racers because it's a way to give back. I don't think we have to have exact active racers to do it. I just think, you know, that's what it is. And that's why one of the questions, and we all agreed on this, was when you apply, like you had the I understand button, like this does not make you king of rando. Like, you know, you're not God here. Like, and, you know, that wasn't meant to be. What's the word? It wasn't meant to be like a slam on people. It was meant to just clarify the whole situation. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you are not running to be in charge. You're running to be a servant to the community.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. One thing I wanted to go back and just clarify real quick in case somebody heard this and they were like, what? So there is a bot in the TARC Discord that in some way, and I don't know who made it, shout outs to whoever it was. But basically it's very simple. It just authenticates whether or not
Synac.
Okay. Well, big surprise. Of course. SahaBot. So yeah, it's through SahaBot. Okay. But basically what it does is it just goes through race time and it confirms that you have at least one race on there with your connected Discord profile within the last year. If it does, it says, okay, great. You can vote on TARC stuff. If you don't, then you can't. And it's like Herf said, a way to make sure that we have active racers voting and also that you don't make a bunch of Smurf accounts and vote like 40 times on something. So. Mm-hmm. Which I think is a pretty cool, pretty elegant solution for all that.
That's a great segue to news.
Wait, to what? To what news? We're already in news.
That's a great, to some more news. I didn't see it on the outline. I'm just going to, unfortunately, we did have that little thing last week where unfortunately we learned that there was a new alter on the ladder and on race time, which turned out to be one of our past spoiler log guests, Keeves Gaming, as Bacon Roaster 11, which was very unfortunate to learn that, but is unfortunately the truth. But these are the downsides of being in charge of things, I guess, like the current old council is. And this is one of the things the admins will have to deal with eventually when somebody acts out. And has to do something about it. Like, you know, Dunka and probably us made it look like we, you know, take that in stride. But, you know, I'll probably put some words in Dunka's mouth here and the rest of the council, old council, when I say this. But like, it's never really fun banning anybody. It kind of sucks, but it's a necessary thing that has to be done.
Especially when you had a face-to-face conversation with them for, you know, an hour like you did with Spoiler Log, which...
Well... I don't feel so bad for me in that regard. I feel more bad for the people that they're close or close to him. And, you know, I haven't had that happen directly to me, but there's been a lot of people in the community that have lost friends because of like alters, cheaters, whatever you want to call them. And, you know, it always sucks. It always just really sucks for those people. So, I don't know what else to say about it. It just sucks. Because you feel like you got cheated in a way, or, you know, like,
well, it's like, kind of like they were lying to you a little bit.
That's what I was trying to say.
For sure.
Yeah.
Everybody involved. It's I was saying this on another Discord and I'm leaving up to you, Tim, if you want to leave this in or not, but I thought, you know, in hindsight, it's kind of funny to think about this, but
proceed.
We don't have the greatest track record regarding cheaters, do we? I mean, considering the mentor tournament winners and guests we had on and the guest that was now on the Spoiler Log podcast, it's we're picking them.
Well, no.
We've had more successes.
Percentage-wise, we're doing just fine. So, yes, Floyd, obviously very unfortunate. Keebs also. So I was going to bring this up during the mentor tournament update because Keebs, unfortunately, the second most amount of matches mentored under Akuhaish. Extremely problematic, right? Like, you know, and we kind of covered our asses a little bit at the beginning and said, like, we can't regulate every single interaction you have with every person. We can't vouch for all of them. We don't do enough vetting when we allow someone to become a mentor, because frankly, we need all the help we can get. But then, you know, to find out that someone who was mentoring for us has been caught stream sniping, it kind of brings a lot of the advice into question. It's like, did they make that recommendation because they that was the probability and the odds and they were considering everything, or were they just straight up watching the other person's stream? You know, so that sucks. It definitely sucks. I don't really have a good answer for, you know, our official stance on that other than it sucks.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, thank you for that update. That is news. And, you know, I've said before, it brings us no pleasure to report on these sort of things, but I do feel that it is necessary for us to do and sort of a service to the community. So there it is. There's your dose of bad news. Are we ready to move on to our next quick little update? All right, so yeah, the next quick little update we have is we just want to remind people about the ALTTPR League. So Season 6 signups are open right now. They opened last Sunday, and they close Sunday, August 27th at 12 p.m. If you need a team, remember they have a Discord that we'll link in the description and a channel within that Discord where you can look for teammates, match up with people there. So be sure to utilize that. If the league sounds interesting, especially if you just finished up with the mentor tournament, definitely recommend league as a next step for you. If you enjoyed that experience, a lot of people have made that transition and really enjoyed it and then stuck around in the community and kind of found their niche in here, by doing that. So get on it, get in there into the league.
Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to talk here, but Temp nailed it.
Why can't you talk there?
Cause I'll talk about league for too long.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about League plenty in the next several months, so I guess you're right. Yeah,
I'm sure we will.
Let's keep it moving. So I just wanted to give a quick update on my experience in the Casual Boots tournament. So I finished my last group race a couple days ago, yesterday actually, as this is being recorded, over the last weekend. And I did what I thought I was going to do, which is I went 3-3. So Teddo was the clear favorite and the one with the exceptional skill level compared to the rest of us in the group, and went 6-0. We had Death Taxes N64, who I really enjoyed racing. We actually had one of our races restreamed. So I'll link that in the description. That was restreamed by Lumaga and Josh Bittner Comms. So shout outs to them. He went 0-6, and then B Bonnell and myself went 3-3 together. So we're going to have to do a tiebreaker. I think we're going to have to do that the very last day that you can do those, which is this coming Sunday. And I think they're like on a long family vacation right now, and then they'll get back on Sunday. So I hate to have to make them race right when they get back, but that's just how the schedule is probably going to work out there. Obviously, I'm nervous for that. You know, I beat him once, he beat me once. When I beat him, it was by about a minute. When he beat me, it was by about 9 minutes. So which one was the fluke, you know, based on just that information right there, I'll let you decide. But I'm going to give it everything I got. I think I definitely have a chance. If I can win this, I'll move on to brackets. And then I think I can even see who I would face in brackets in the first round. And it was someone where I was like, okay, I could see myself squaring up against them. So obviously don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, but feeling good about this Sunday. I don't know if it'll be restreamed or not. I think they're trying to restream a lot of the tiebreakers. So just stay tuned to the schedule for the Casual Boost tournament. Keep checking that if you want to see me square off. So there are going to be some people guaranteed watching that race. And this is a perfect transition into the next thing I wanted to talk to y'all about. So I had the honor of being the winner of my fantasy football league last season, which is myself and 11 other college friends. And it's a league just for glory. There's no money on the line, but we've been playing for almost 10 years now. And there's a lot of bragging rights on the line. So,
but now you want to play for money. So you're coming to us, the inexperienced at fantasy
football. For just a low, low investment of $250 per person, I will get you in on the ground floor. And if I win, no, it's nothing like that. I need your expertise and your guidance in the area of rando. So as the league winner, I get to determine the draft order for when we do have our, you know, player draft, which is going to be in like 3 weeks. So what we traditionally do with these is, like, 1 year, one of the champions, when he had to do this, it was actually in 2020 when it was COVID. So he did a stream of like WCW versus NWO on the Nintendo 64, and he like assigned us to wrestlers, and he let the computer fight one another, and it was a battle royale, and like the order in which you got knocked out was your draft order, you know, as you were assigned to different wrestlers, and that was just a lot of fun. So I wanted to do something like that, but I wanted to combine randomness with like a little bit of like you feel like you have some control over what's happening. And that combination immediately led me to ALTTPR, because that is, you know, such an important part of the game that we love. So I was thinking,
I am surprised.
So I wanted to do like essentially imagine like a like a league reveal, you know, where you're revealing the different teams and the divisions they're on. But so like or like, you know, a seeding reveal where someone's playing the game and they open the chest and different people's names come out. So I'm not going to be able to like change the game like that. But I was thinking something like, so I've got this race probably happening on Sunday anyway, right? So before the race, I have each of my 11 league mates plus myself choose an item. Wherever that item shows up in my playthrough is the order in which we will draft. So I went through and I went through all the items, all the different items that are in ALTTPR, and I left out keys because I knew I wasn't going to, I'm not going to do a key sanity seed if I can help it. So there's basically 151 different locations that are not, that are items, you know, that are not keys or compasses or maps. And I tried to figure out essentially the probability of like, okay, let's say the very first chest that you open, what's the probability of it being this? You know, so I put together like a casual spreadsheet and I spent a little bit of time thinking about it. I shared it in the 216 podcast Discord because they have a fantasy football channel in there. And I was like, well, what better place to get a little bit of input on this than there? But what I did was I went through all of the items and I tried to figure out their like appearance probability. And I've linked it in the outline. So I don't know if y'all can see it. Dante.
There it is. All right. I'm in.
Okay, so we're looking at this list. I went to like, you know, a Plando, like a customizer, and just copied everything that was there, deleted all the maps, compasses, and keys, and big keys. And I've got all of the items sorted out here, and I figured it would probably be the most fun if everyone was a unique item, or at the very least a progressive item, because someone being like Piece of Heart, which is 24 of, or 20 Rupees, which is 28 of, not only is it boring, but just like there's going to be so many of those, it's not even special anymore. So I kind of wanted them to all be unique. The way I see it, I've got them all highlighted here, and I tried to arrange them in the order of like probability of showing up. So Progressive Glove, I think, is number one because there's two of them and you definitely need it for Dark World access. So there's a really good chance that at least one of them is going to show up. And I think I'm going to pick that for myself because if I wanted to, I could just set the whole draft order myself, like choose it, you know, but I'm being nice by like letting it be random. So this is my way of kind of like, I'm putting my thumb on the scale, but I am still like, as we all know, it could take a long time for the first glove to show up. We have no idea, but like my chances are pretty good. The next one I think is going to be the Moon Pearl. Cause again, you know, that's going to show up in the first, probably like third ish of the seed, something like that, possibly earlier. So I think that's like a very high pick. Like that's one that you want. And then there's sword, bow, and hammer. So, and I think all of those are kind of somewhat equal. You have some thoughts. Okay.
I do. Well, I was going to say, you clarified it. So this is, I'm going to sound stupid now, but I mean, I'd say if you want to be first, you say sword, and then it's like you start with it or the boots, and you're like, got them.
I do love that.
Got it. I have a completely different suggestion, but I don't want to like interrupt your explanation of this.
Well, I'm just about done. So just to round out the items that I have selected here. So obviously a sword, at least one more sword is needed. It's going to be a casual boot. So at least one more sword is needed. Mm-hmm. One bow is required, but there's two of them out there. So I feel like those, you know, sword and bow, since there's three and two of them or two and three of them respectively, better chances. Hammer is next. It's absolutely required, but there's only one. Hookshot is required, but it could be in GT for all we know. So I think that one's a little lower. And then I have Fire Rod and Cane of Samaria kind of near each other because they're both almost definitely required, but there is a small chance for either of them that they won't be found. And then I've got my last four, which, as we know, any one of these four could end up not showing up at all. Flippers, Mirror, the Book, and Flute. And then I could do Ice Rod, but I left that off. I think that kind of falls into similar sort of category as those last four. But I'm thinking if for some reason, like two of these just don't show up at all, I'll just flip a coin between the two of them and whatever. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like, it's probably not going to happen, but it definitely could. So yeah, that's what I was thinking of doing. Do you think it's weird to use this tiebreaker race in my casual boots tournament for this purpose? Is there any, I think it's okay, but is there anything like weird about that? I just wanted to like check with you guys.
I don't think it's necessarily weird. No.
Okay. Because yeah. I'm not going to change the way I play. I want to win the seed. Like, I'm not going to like change the way that I route based on
I will say, I think it might be a depending on how serious you're taking this race, it might distract you a little bit to think about. But
perhaps I'm easily distractible.
So hear me out, Tim. Here's my suggestion.
Okay. All right.
You've got 12 people, right? Mm-hmm. You make an all dungeon seed, and the order of the dungeons is plus. You're required to pull pedestal as soon as you can. So pedestal is number 11 because you don't know when you'll get your third pendant. And then you need something for 12. Maybe you're required to do Aga 1 as soon as you get a Master's Orders or as soon as you can get into Aga Tower, and Aga is your number 12. Mm. And you let people pick whatever they dungeon they want, and that's the order your draft pick will be in.
Yeah. That makes a ton of sense too. When I posted this in the 216 pod, Matt7898 replied and said something similar to that. He said, assign everyone a big key. And he was saying, thinking like all dungeons key sanity. Mm-hmm. And like whenever that big key shows up. And he had a really good point, which is that's great because like, okay, the chest opens up and you see the big key. Mm-hmm. And then you're just waiting for the text, like, oh, who's it going to be? You know, so
that's true. Yeah.
That's a lot of fun. I love that element of it. And I would love to try and incorporate that. That is great, but it does a few things. It caused me to play in all dungeons, which is going to be longer. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these dudes have no idea what rando is. I'm kind of like, this is also a way to like force them to watch. So they have a very good chance that like after they know their ranking, they're just going to peace out. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is this is like killing two birds with one stone potentially, because I already know I'm going to have to do this race and I want to mm-hmm. win and go as fast as possible. And it's going to be casual boots. So, I'm going to be zipping around everywhere. Why not just have them watch me play like I was already going to, but they have a little more vested interest in watching me play beyond just, this is our friend and we want him to do well, or we want to see him fail because they're mean, and we have that kind of relationship.
That's fair. But I feel like the point about them dipping out once they know when it's, their placement or whatever, they can do that if they're watching you play casual boots as well. If you find the hook shot or whatever, or the flippers right away, and they're like, oh, that's what I picked. All right, bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And that doesn't even necessarily bother me, but it's more of the having to play two seeds. Like right, I would have to set up a whole different seed. And mm-hmm. there, the benefit to that is like, okay, I make it a plando and I give myself blue mail and I just like run into everything, mm-hmm. and it's not even difficult. It's just more the fun of like, where are the items?
Right.
But that it's still two seeds. So not mm-hmm. to say I'm like totally 100% against that, but if I could just like do both of these, then mm-hmm. I might want to just do that.
I mean, I feel like it works with what you have here. I just personally, I'd be too worried about A, being distracted, or B, like maybe like subconsciously changing up my playstyle because I don't want to skip an item that will be needed to figure out the placement of someone or whatever, right? Because that will be in the back of my head for sure. Like I personally couldn't like 100% focus. Even if I tried really hard, there'd be like a subconscious, oh, look, it's the item that this guy picked or whatever, right? And then you're distracted for a little bit and you run into an enemy and die or something stupid like that. So mm-hmm. I'd be worried about that. And I'd be worried about items actually not showing up just because, you get a jet seat and you're done in like 55 minutes and you skipped half the items people picked. Obviously it's not going to work like that, but I'd be too worried about that. I'd rather, make myself a plan to where I'm like, all right, I don't know where stuff is, but I'm sure that everything will come up.
Yeah. Sage advice. Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for entertaining my hypothetical here. And I'll perhaps report back in the next episode, let people know what I decided to do. All right. Let's get into GMP community updates. So we are, of course, in the midst of brackets for MT23. We have those. I'll put a link in the description so you can kind of check up on where things are. basically everyone is in their top four right now, except for the Fighter Sword bracket, which had one less round and is now in its finals. So the two facing off in finals for Fighter Sword are Ginger Gaming 58 and TDK. So good luck to both of them. And then in our Gold Sword semifinals, we have our kind of four finalists are Bidey versus CFate 91, which as of this recording, they both have one game on each other. So that's going to come to a game three. That should be a barn burner. And then we have Baja Blood and Krawal Tofu. So good luck to all four of them and to all of the other semifinalists in all of their brackets. Mm-hmm. And we will... almost definitely, unless the community implodes again, be inviting on our Gold Sword winner. So look forward to that in our next episode. And then, you know, we'll do like a afterwards, like a survey, you know, for feedback and stuff like that, like we always do. So stay tuned. There'll be more on that. Bi-weekly seed. We had the almost all dungeon keys. I unfortunately didn't get around to this. I've been doing all my like, you know, casual boots group races and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted to, which is, you know, literally the story of my life, but I didn't.
We had 16 people give it a go. It looks like according to our, leaderboard. So
okay.
Glad we're able to give some people some, you know, a little bit of a peek at what League has in store. Should we just do that other League one that we were thinking about doing, the Ganon Hunt one?
Yeah. If you really want to do Ganon Hunt, we can do it.
Yeah.
That makes it easy. Let's just do that. Sweet. Okay. That is what we will do. And I think we're ready to wrap it up. All right. So you can email us questions at gomodepodcast@gmail.com. I want to give a huge shout out to one of our listeners, Jay Masha, who made a one-time donation to us on PayPal about a week ago. And it was a real surprise to see. And we just cannot say thank you enough to Jay Masha for showing your support in that way. Really, really appreciate that. And yeah, just absolutely had to acknowledge that. It was huge. And we really, really appreciate that. If you want to show your support for the show, we do have a Patreon. We of course have that PayPal as well, but honestly, just listening every other week and, you know, commenting every now and then in the Discord or popping into a chat of a restream, anything like that. You know, we just love to see that folks are engaging, that they're, you know, listening, that they're appreciating kind of what we do every week. That's more than enough for us. So we really appreciate all of you who do that week after week. Let's see what else. I guess we're on shout outs. And I haven't quite decided what I want to do. Does one of y'all want to jump in?
I got
in
like 15, so okay. I'll make
them. You're not, you don't have to worry about deciding. You just do all of them.
All right. So a few things to shout out. Things I got going on, because I don't do this on spoiler log. I just keep it about whoever I'm talking to. But that's one of my shout outs. We had a really good episode with Korek. If you haven't listened to that, it's on the spoiler log feed. Go check it out. I do have probably four, maybe five, depending on what invitations get accepted, out there, like episodes on queue to get ready to go. So I'm looking to get a whole bunch lined up, so I can take some time off again in September when I'm out of town and later this month. And that's segue into my next shout out. So next month or later this month, I'm going back to the Beast in the East tournament. I was streaming a little bit, practicing Stepmaniacs, and I'm just so mad because one, I have no drive to replay everything that I've been getting hundreds on all this like long time ago. And I'm trying to, but the other thing is like, I play with this is excuses time. I play with an adjustable bar. So like I can set my bar height in increments higher or lower than the stock height. I can also set it to the stock height. The stock height absolutely destroys my shoulder blades, and like it sends this like nerve pain down my arms after like a prolonged use, and I hate it. So like I always play better and I'm more physically comfortable playing with the shorter height bar, but I can't play that at the tournament. So I'm a little salty about that. I did it last year too, like, but it just like was annoying. So that's my excuse. I'm making excuses before the tournament, but we're streaming it on my channel. I'm really excited for a couple upgrades we've got for it, as far as like I've got some better cameras that I'm going to take this time, and I'm hoping it's going to look real good. I didn't make the layout. I'm just going to say that if you guys watch, I didn't make the layout. I'm like contractually obligated to use their layout. Please help me. It's bad. Yeah, that's that. Yeah, I think maybe that's it. It wasn't quite 15.
That was like 3, but good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good ones. Nice.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll report how mad I was about the tournament when on the next episode in my shout out, because I'll be back from it around that time.
Sounds beautiful. Good.
Okay. I'll do two things and I'll go quick. I've been enjoying two things from the 2000s lately that I want to shout out. So the first one is the HBO miniseries Band of Brothers. So I had heard about it for years and years. I even like watched the first episode at one point and was like, yeah, this is good. But for whatever reason, just didn't keep watching it. And over the weekend, I don't know what made me think of it, but I was like, oh, Band of Brothers. And I somehow convinced my wife to watch it, which she's not usually like a war movie type, but she watched it with me and she's really into it. And I'm really into it as well. I feel like I'm maybe old enough now to appreciate history. Like I'm a dad. And so, like, I automatically like war movies and submarines and shit like that.
Oh, so, is that a thing?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. So, okay. But it's very well made. I mean, it shows its age a little bit, but it's just like a great story. It's a true story and great acting, great performances. It won a bunch of awards back when it came out. So that's Band of Brothers. And then speaking of a bunch of awards when it came out, I've been replaying Fallout New Vegas. So that was like one of my favorite games. This is one of my favorite games of all time. When it first came out, you know, for a good solid 2 years, I played and replayed that with a bunch of different builds and just fired it back up with all the DLC and made my way through one of the DLCs called Old World Blues, which I'd only played once and like very quickly when it first came out. Now I'm running through the Mojave and, you know, deciding how I feel about all the different factions. And it's just a great game. And I'm not, I don't even have any mods in, because the last time I tried to replay, I went mod crazy and it broke the game and it made it so I couldn't even pull it up. And I was like, this is just not even worth it for like slightly better textures and like one added NPC that's not even that cool, you know? So I'm just going without it and I'm still really enjoying the game. I just wish you could sort items. that's like my one wish. That really sucks.
I think these mods are super necessary for Fallout games, like inventory mods for the display and for sorting and for, you know, just convenience. There's so much quality of life stuff.
Yeah, I'm just scared too. I don't want to break it again. I'm just going to keep dealing with it and playing. I mean, I'm really enjoying it. I forgot about all the music. It's so much fun. And it's really well balanced, which I did not expect. You know, like I went into Old World Blues at level 1, just like ran straight there. And it was legitimately tense. Like I was getting my ass handed to me repeatedly and had to like re-strategize and, you know, try different things. And it ended up eventually, you know, making it out. And it was really, really satisfying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyone who hasn't played that game, it's dirt cheap now. And it truly holds up in terms of like story and gameplay and all that. It's really fun. So those are my shout outs.
Cool. All right, I guess it's my turn. And since we're all doing multiple things, I'll also do two things, because there are two games that I'm currently playing that I wouldn't feel comfortable not talking about them. So the first one I'm spending a lot of time with, obviously, is Baldur's Gate 3, which, you know, amazing game. I'm sure people have read and seen and talked about it to death, so I'm not going to go into it too much. The thing I want to talk about it real quick with it is, I'm sure other people have this problem too, but I personally have a huge problem with games like that where I get into a new area and I open up the map and I walk around a little bit and then I go, oh boy, this is huge. Where am I? Where do I go? What do I do? I guess I'll save and then I'll quit the game for 3 hours and maybe I'll decide later. And then I never come back to it. I mean, I've managed to come back to Baldur's Gate, but boy, decision paralysis is a thing, and I suffer from it badly when it comes to RPGs and decision making and where to go first. And then I'm like, oh, if I go this way, will I screw up a side quest or will I miss out on anything on the other side? So I turn around 50 times and in the end, I just don't go anywhere and can never really decide what to do. So that's been a little bit of a problem with that game, but it's a ton of fun and they really put a lot of work in and they did a great job so far. I mean, there's a few bugs, but it's nothing that breaks the game and it's really fun.
I've heard a lot of really good things about it.
Mm-hmm. And the second game is a game that's very near and dear to my heart they finally released, or I guess finally is they released out of nowhere, I guess, a Quake 2 remaster that I've been enjoying greatly. It looks great. It's they didn't really change too much. They gave it like a new lighting system and updated some quality of life stuff and so on. And it's a ton of fun. It looks great. The lighting is awesome. It's as much fun as I remember it. And that was like after the first Quake, that was the game that really got me into competitive multiplayer gaming back in the day. And I played a lot of Quake 2 in like the late 90s. So I'm very happy to see you back, and I'm hoping it might get a little bit of a multiplayer revival.
Yeah, I was going to. Did you say you're playing multiplayer, or is it a...
Right now I'm playing through the single player campaign just for old time's sake. They put all the mission packs in. There used to be mission packs instead of DLC where you had to buy like a CD and it came with like an extra campaign. And the remaster people also put like an extra campaign, I think, in that I'm really curious about because it's supposed to be pretty good. So I'm just running through the single player stuff right now. They did port the multiplayer too, and it has most of the stuff. The thing is, a lot of the Quake 2 multiplayer back in the day lived off of what would now be considered mods, I guess. What I started out with was Battlegrounds, which was like a team deathmatch kind of thing, where it was all about map control and, you know, not letting the enemies get weapons and stuff like that. And then another really popular thing was Rocket Arena, where it was basically just a one-on-one duel where everyone had every weapon with maximum ammo, and it just came down to who could, you know, who was the better shot, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if those just work out of the box, or if they have to be ported, or if they're even coming back at all, or if, you know, it might just implode again in 2 weeks and everyone's like, all right, cool, the novelty wore off and we don't care anymore.
Yeah. Throw me a link in the chat and I'll put it in the description for where you go to get all that downloaded. That's cool. Yeah, I was too young for Quake 2 growing mm-hmm. up, I think, but I have heard it enough to know that it's like one of those like titans of FPSs, like one of the very first like multiplayer games that
I will say the single player campaign, like, it's fun to play through. I'm not sure if you're like used to modern shooters or anything, if you're gonna enjoy it, because it's very kind of, you know, old school and bare bones in a way. It's not like a great single player campaign. It doesn't have like a super compelling story or great cutscenes or anything. It's just run from start to the end of the level. The only thing I can say for it is that it's sort of like a little bit like an open world game. Like there's a lot of going to a level and it's kind of a hub area where it splits up into 3 and 4 different levels and you go back and forth between them to like find key cards and open up new like bridges or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. And the last thing I want to mention before I finally shut up about Quake 2 is that if you already own Quake 2 on Steam, you just get the remaster for free. It's just like a 4 gigabyte update and you can just play it. So if you should already own Quake 2 on Steam, you're just getting it for free.
You just got it. It's just in the library. Nice. I love when that happens.
Yeah, cool. It's good.
All right. Well, I have one more thing to say before we get out of here. I wonder if y'all know what I'm about to say here, but I just realized earlier today that as of yesterday, if you're listening to this as this, you know, if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, was our 5-year anniversary of being a podcast.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
I believe it was August 15th, 2018, when we released our first episode and trailer. Mm-hmm. And here we are 5 years later, going strong. Yeah. Slightly different makeup in the team, but still coming to you every 2 weeks. Have not finished. Have not stopped.
At this point, Dante's been around longer, right?
Yeah.
I feel Dante, like he's taken over.
I'm looking forward to the Dante takeover in 2 episodes when it is my 100th episode. And I'm going to let you down. It's not going to be a takeover. Tim's going to come up with something. There you go.
It'll be as much of a takeover as this was a 5-year episode celebration, mm-hmm, exactly. Which is to say I mentioned it in passing and that's it. Yeah, I, you know, part of me wants to do, you know, a whole bunch of pomp and circumstance and do it like a very special episode and stuff. But honestly, I think the best way we can honor 5 years is by just keeping doing exactly what we're doing and committing to not stopping anytime soon. And that's where I'm at. And that's
let me tell you what I hear when you say that. I hear I don't want to comb 132 episodes for a clip show to celebrate 5 years. And I don't blame you because we don't get paid enough to do that. That would take like too long.
I mean, I think you heard that because that's exactly what I said. Or if I didn't say it, then my eyes said it. Cool. Well, as always, thank you all so much for listening. Here's to 5 years and even more years to come. And if you haven't given us a review, I'm asking one more time if you would leave a review for us on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to the podcast. We're three away from 64. And I feel like even if we end the show in like 4 years with 64 reviews, that will be cool. So that's my goal, is to get three more reviews before the end of this show, whatever that is. I don't know when that is, but get them in now. So, all right. Let's go ahead and get out of here. Thank you all so much for listening. On behalf of my co-hosts, Herfy and Dante, I've been Timp. Let's go ahead and mirror out.